You're listening to Business Stories with Ryan Arcaracci, where I speak to business professionals from all walks of life. Thanks for listening, and let's get to it.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is going to be a great episode. A lot of my clients I talk to all the time, I'm really preaching the importance of using video in your content, in your social media, on LinkedIn. So my guest today is Kevin Ayers. He's in the UK, and he's got a business called Cadence Video. And Kevin, tell us a little bit about you, and thanks for being on the show. Let's talk about video and all you've got going on with it.
Oh, it sounds like my dream podcast, Ryan. Thank you so much for inviting me. Yes. Yeah, as you said, I'm in the UK. It is sunny here for a change, which is nice. You tell I'm British because I'm already talking about the weather. I'm just jealous that you live in Las Vegas, where it's basically, you don't have to talk about the weather because it's always sunny, right?
It's the same, yeah.
So what I found, I was in the corporate world for a long time, and I came at video from very much a business angle. So I'm a business person that's kind of learnt video rather than the other way around. And it strikes me that often people think that video is really expensive because, you know, it often is because the way it's done. But really, video is just one way of getting a message across. It's a fantastic way of getting across. And generally speaking, most of the video that businesses needs really doesn't have to be that high production value. It's all about having a fantastic message. You know, it's all about the content first, and then the production values just have to be good enough for whatever context it is that you are, that you're in. And I always just give the example of, like, one of the top 10 films of all time is 12 Angry Men. Mm-hmm. Takes place in a jury room with, you know, the 12 jurists. And it's like one of the simplest films ever made. It's really not that advanced. There is a little bit of clever cinematography in there, a bit more than it appears, but basically it's a very cheap film to make. And it's consistently in the top 10 films of all time. And yet we've all seen films where they spent all the money on the special effects and it's terrible, you know, because they've right. Totally focused on the production value and kind of missed the fact that it's about content first, content is king sort of thing. So, right. And I think that really applies to business video, and increasingly, and maybe this is something we can dive into as we go, but I think increasingly in a world of AI content and, like, can you believe what you see? I think the two key words are trust and authenticity. And I think as long as you kind of tackle those two things, for many, many contexts, it really doesn't matter too much about the video production values. And that's really what I've founded my business on, which is helping people to create great content, but in a much kind of cheaper and more accessible way than, you know, traditional video production.
One of the things that people ask me when I bring up video is they don't know how to start and they don't know what content to create. Like if you're a business that's kind of, let's say, boring, right? How do you create engaging content out of a boring concept, which could be something as like house cleaning, right? I'm not saying it's a bad business to get into. It's just, how do you create exciting content with something like that? So Kevin, you and I, we have a creative mind. How do you approach somebody who says, look, I don't even know how to create I don't even know what kind of video I create that people would want to watch, right? So how do you approach that?
Imagine this, you're a marketing agency and someone's approached you and says, look, I've got this liquid, this brown liquid, and I want you to market it. You know, it's kind of sticky and sort of bubbles appear in it and stuff. You know, it doesn't sound very promising, right? Well, that's what Coke is, right? Which is probably one of the most exciting, you know, brands on the planet. And I think that the key to selling or kind of telling a story around any product is it's not what it is. It's not cleaning. You're not really selling cleaning. You're selling a solution, which is time, freedom. That's what you're selling. You're not selling a clean house. You're selling right. What that represents to that person. And so I did an awful lot of work with IBM, you know, on very large contracts, you know, big bids and proposals, multi-million, you know, they wouldn't even get us involved if it was at least, unless it was at least sort of $5 million. And some of them were huge, you know. And I remember a guy asking me this. He's like, this is really boring stuff. You know, it's like networking or something, you know, like right. Network. He's like, how do we make this sexy? And I said, and, you know, you dive into what they do and, you know, you hear the stories that they tell and it's like, well, because they bought, the client bought IBM and it really, when they had a disaster, it didn't fail, and it meant that everybody in the council got paid. That's the story, right? That's right. What's sexy. It's not the fact that it's bits and bytes and, you know, bits of tin in a rack. You know, that is pretty boring. And let's face it, most B2B companies, like, you know, pretty much what everybody sells is pretty boring to most people. But it's that story. Like, what is it? What's the underlying story? That's the first thing to fix.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. If you look at all the commercials you see, or video content you see, you know, you're not selling a cell phone, you're selling all the things the phone can do to change your life. You know, you could take family vacation photos, you can book a trip, you can use all these apps. It's what the product is actually doing, the outcome or the result. So I think that's what people need to understand when they create video, is what is the outcome? What is the solution? What kind of problem are you solving for your consumer? So Kevin, when you are approaching a client, and I think a lot of people think, I can't afford video production because I've got to hire all these people and I've got to spend all this time and all this money. But a lot of what you do is remote. And I don't think people realize that video work is now remote. So explain the process with you and that side of it.
Yeah. And so I'll just take a sort of half step between the previous question and this one, because there's, I think, a key sort of missing step that I didn't want to talk too long, because I know I could talk for pardon the pun, for England. I think there, when people talk about getting a video done or doing video in inverted commas, what they really mean, and I go back to my previous comment, is a marketing video. Like, it's one video that sort of tries to do everything about that company, okay? Or either that, or it's social media video, like little funky videos, and they're kind of thinking, do I need to make TikTok videos or something like that? And that's kind of what they've been sold, or rather more that they've assumed that that's what video means. And they don't necessarily say social media content, but you can tell from the context of what they're saying, that's really what they mean. They mean, I need to be creating social media video content.
Right.
And I really think that that is a bad place to start. So coming on to the answer to your question, and, you know, why remote? So, because it's a bit like saying, you know, I want to run a marathon, and you ask the person, well, have you got some running shoes? No. What are they? Can you do a brisk walk to the shops? No. You know, I get out of breath. It's like, well, maybe why don't we start with something a little bit easier? And then, you know, in a few months' time, you might be ready for a marathon, right? So I think starting with social media is really hard, because let's face it, you know, say you're a small business, and or you're a medium-sized business, but your team don't do any video, right? Most people that I've met over the years hate being in front of camera. Like, they literally run the other way. So they kind of, even if you know you need to do it, most people aren't very natural on camera. And it takes a bit of warming up, and it takes a bit of practice, and it takes kind of getting used to, that's what I look like on camera, or that's what I sound like. You know, I've got a slightly nasal voice. It's nothing I can do about it. I had my adenoids as a kid, and I've just got over it. You know, I accept that's not, you know, that's what I sound like. It's fine. You know, there's nothing I can do about it. So I think a much better place to start, and frankly, much higher return on investment, are things like frequently asked questions, testimonials, these kind of things, because they can be used over and over and over and over again in the sales process. And you could just put the text of those things on your website, but people aren't really getting to know, like, and trust you. They're just getting to sort of know it's only really the know step. They're not really getting to like and trust you or it's a representative of the company, as where if you create a video of yourself answering questions, like really, really simple questions, just like write down 10 or 20, 30 questions, or even better, get ChatGPT to do it for you. And then just, you know, create a whole set of videos that answer all of those questions, stick them in a knowledge center on your website, and, you know, sprinkle them throughout your website. And it just makes it really easy for people to A, understand what it is you do, all of the kind of questions they might have about your product and service, and you kind of get to head those off early. You know, exactly kind of what your product does, right? You know, it's create that customer journey for people. And those videos can all be done remotely. You know, you could do them yourself, but most people, frankly, need a bit more coaching than that. They find that sometimes I get people saying like, oh yeah, I can do that myself. You know, I just get my cell phone and do it. And I say, yeah, you absolutely can. But most people, when they try it, go, oh, that was a bit harder than I was expecting. And what I really help people with is I coach them through, make sure that they give their best performance, that it's really natural and kind of the best version of them. And because I've been a business consultant, worked on very big, you know, very big deals and so on, I'm quite good at helping them reframe what they say so that it makes sense, because it might make sense to them, but I can tell often, why don't we change it like so you say it like that, so it makes sense to their customer. So sorry, long answer, but I'm kind of trying to answer two questions. I hope that makes sense.
No, it does. And what's interesting to me over the last 30, 40 years is that you probably remember, like I do, the old way of advertising was infomercials and screaming at the camera, you've got to buy this product. You need it now. call us. And that was what the world was before we had social media and before we had YouTube and all this stuff. So, but what's interesting to me, Kevin, is there's a dynamic shift now where every entrepreneur can be that face of their company, but they're trying to understand and adjust to that discomfort, because like you said, not everybody feels like they're camera friendly. So we have this interesting switch from, you know, business owners being behind the desk and paying a company to go make a commercial to now being that commercial, and the dynamic and the shift is I'm doing videos about my company on social media instead of creating a 30-second commercial on TV. It's a whole different, you know, world there. And you talked about things being remote too. And I want to ask you, so if somebody approaches you, Kevin, and says, hey, I'm in the US, I'm in Texas, and I need a commercial, or I need some sort of video content. I know you said you have a really easy way of helping people do that. There's really no travel involved and stuff. So talk to us about how you approached a client like that who's remote.
Yeah. So by the way, I'd say if you want a commercial, there's loads of people. That's not what I do. You know, that's not the sort of content, because often those things do require on site and, you know, you tour of your facility or whatever. You're best off getting someone in Texas. They'll do a great job for you, right? Yeah. So what I will help you do is fill out that customer journey. So the advert, if you like, you just described that commercial, is at the front end of that funnel, trying to get people into the funnel. But now you've got me hooked. It's like, okay, right. Well, what does your product do? How much does it cost? How, you know, what's your guarantee? You know, what if it doesn't work? What if, all of that stuff. Or I want to hear some testimonials about other people that have bought it, you know, that sort of thing. That just to give you two simple examples of the kind of video content you could create. So what I will do is book in some time with that person once we've agreed what they're going to shoot. And basically we'll set up what is in effect a posh Zoom call. It's not Zoom, but in concept it's very similar. We use a different platform that records in a different way, so you get a higher quality output. But at the end of the day, it's still your webcam. It's not going to be like, you know, you're shooting with some sort of Panavision, you know, amazing camera. That's not the point.
Right.
What I will do is meet with them in that environment and then coach them. I'll ask them the question. They'll answer it to me as if they're talking to the client, you know, on their website kind of thing. And I'll say, that's great. I really like what you did there. I could just tell the energy was dropping off there because you were wondering how to finish, which is often a problem. So why don't we change that to that and let's go again. I think you can do that better. And it's my job to gauge how good they can get it, because some people, you know, it doesn't matter what you do, they're just not going to get it, right? Or they can only get it to a certain level, and that's fine. And, you know, I'm just very used to knowing how far to kind of push someone to get the best result. You know, you do occasionally get your one hit wonders. You just knock it out of the park first take, but that, you know, that's pretty rare. Most people find it, you know, it takes a few goes to warm up. That's what I do. And that's why it can be done remotely. And it just gets recorded on my system. I then get it edited, send it back. We can make any revisions. So it can all be done remotely.
Can you share a particular client you saw real success with and just walk us through, if you can pick it apart and say, you know, this is why this really worked for them Do you have any good examples of that?
I like the one I'm doing at the moment, actually. I'm working with a company called the Alternative Board, who are in the States, and they want to record testimonials from their existing franchisees. And there's just really no way to do that in any cost-effective way. You know, to do that at the moment, they'd have to send a video guy or kind of get everybody to travel, and that's just not going to happen. You know, it's just way they just wouldn't do it if the cost would be too high.
Right.
But I am recording them across the country, and what we do is we do the same. So it's a success in as much as it's happening, because to do it, there is just really no other way to do it, right? Because they wouldn't do it if it was the other way. So you know, so in that sense, it's a success before you even start, right? Because they've got some content is better than no content, right? You know, and what we do is we ask the same questions to each franchisee. And the reason for doing that is now, out of one one-hour session, you've now got 10 individual question answers. You've got a long-form version with all of the answers edited together. And you could also then re-slice and dice it so that you could say, ask one question and hear that answer from an edited version of that answer from, say, 3 or 4 or 5 different franchisees. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of slice it the other way. So there's a whole load of different content you can create just, you know, by doing that. So it's almost like the more this works better and better, the more complex your organization and the more distributed you are. If you're just one person in one location, this still works. But if you've got, you know, trying to gather content from many, many people across, you know, say the US or even, you know, internationally, this not only is it a great way of doing it, it's almost the only way of doing it for many people, because otherwise they just simply wouldn't do it. It would be too expensive or too, you know, too much of a hassle to organize.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that I work with a lot of people in home services. I work with, you know, I've worked with restaurants, and they're all like, they don't understand the power of a testimonial. I think your customers actually sell your product more than the salespeople do. Because people think of salespeople as, yeah, this is their job. They have to sell the product and they get paid to sell it. But the customer doesn't get anything. Their actual testimony is real. It's real. It's a real, or if it's a franchisee, it's a real, real testimonial to the brand. So I feel like that carries more weight. Would you agree, Kevin? That's sort of a good approach.
I mean, you know, Amazon have done extremely well, have exactly that idea, right? You know, yeah. Customers that bought this also bought that, you know, or, you know, the whole Amazon is totally built on that concept, right? And I think the other thing that's interesting is, rather than just survey quantitatively your customers, once you actually get, you hear the words they describe, and if the same kind of words keep showing up, you can start thinking, oh, I've never really seen, you know, often they articulate your value better than you can yourself, because they see it in their way, not your way, right?
Right.
So that can often be a cue to change your marketing and start using those words that they're using, because, I mean, let's just take the, so we also provide remote headshots, okay? And
okay.
That, or when we started doing that, it's the same idea but through a cell phone, and people seem to love that, right? That it's just solved such a key problem of, like, how do you get headshots with distributed teams? It's just such a pain in the neck, right? It's right. Such a simple little thing, but it's a real problem that a lot of companies have. And when we started out, because of the way we do it, it all feels a little bit, I don't know how, I think there's a phrase in the US, but I can't think what it is, but it sounds a bit MacGyver, you know, kind of, I think that's the phrase, you know, where that you've got the guy who's sort of thrown this thing together, and it's all a little bit
messy.
Yeah, right. Because we get people to get a can of beans or something and put a couple of hairbands around it, right, and attach their phone. So it feels a little bit kind of basic, you know, a bit MacGyver. And so because of that, initially, it kind of always felt like, I always felt slightly apologetic about it, you know, that somehow this isn't a premium experience, right? But actually, you're like, the real experience is going to a studio or something. Right. But actually, when you hear our customers talk about it, you realize they don't like going to a studio. They certainly don't like doing the lineup in the office, Everybody hates that. It kind of gives them PTSD from when they were at school. You know, the horrible school photo lineup. So the ability to take a photo in their own home with no one else around and this nice person at the end of the line kind of directing them, they really like it, right? They really like it. And it's actually like ours is the premium experience, right? Not the other way around. So it's kind of because when you hear those testimonials, it just helps you inform your marketing, you know?
So I want to ask you too, and I always find this interesting, people in video, you know, I think a lot of businesses go, man, I really want that viral video. How do I get that million views, you know, within 2 days? What is the golden magic ticket to getting that viral video for my brand or my company? And I want to pick your brain on this, Kevin, to ask you, I have my own opinion on this, but what do you think?
I wouldn't be talking to you. I would be on a beach somewhere, right?
We both would. Yes, I know. But I'm seeing viral videos myself. I've come up with my own ideas, but I want to ask you what yours are. What do you think contributes to that?
Okay, I think there's two key elements, and I don't, by the way, I don't purport to have kind of managed this particularly well myself, okay? So I am still kind of in the learning mode for this because of where I've come from in video. I've come from a more corporate, and so a lot of the video that we do is unashamedly in the middle to the end of the funnel, because most of my clients are not very good at the being consistent on video yet, which is one of the key elements, right? So you've got to be consistent, which is hard to do, right? Let's not start with social media, right? So, so I'm still learning this myself, but I think the two, I don't think I'd be I don't think people would disagree who are perhaps better at this than me would say that one thing, key thing is consistency, keep showing up. And because you might do the best video in the whole world and one day it just doesn't work. The algorithm's against you. It's a public holiday or it's, you know, something, the Super Bowl and you're not into the Super Bowl and you didn't realize or whatever, you know, for whatever reason, it just didn't land that day. And there's just nothing you can do about that. You know, so if you keep showing up, you start learning, you get feedback about what does work and you get better and better and better and you make more relationships, people start following you. And, you know, that I think anybody who's into this would say, you know, if you are consistent, that is a key element. And the great thing is, by the way, people like Gary Vaynerchuk would say, you know, the great thing is day one, you're terrible you don't have a following. So it doesn't really matter because nobody's watching anyway, right? But when you start, most of the content is for you yourself. But I think the other thing is a hook. And if you look at the videos that do really well, having a hook in the first 2 seconds that gets people watching. And it's kind of almost getting silly now because even videos that have no relation, content that has no relation to what's being talked about, it's on TikTok. So people are kind of, you know, pouring custard into bowls, you know, at the side of their video talking about, you know, insurance or something, you know, it's just making these weird aesthetic videos. Or one the other day where this guy said, like, this video went viral because, and it was totally deliberate. And he's standing holding this light and then he drops it and it smashes on the floor and it just grabs your attention, right? And so grabbing your attention is a key part of it because it doesn't matter how good the rest of the video is. If I can't grab your attention, you won't watch it. QED, it's a useless video. You know, it could be the best. The next 2 minutes could be the best video in the whole world in history. But if the first 2 seconds aren't great, you're not going to watch.
Right. I think it's funny that a lot of brands think that the viral video is something that's like a marketing video, but it's something that is not related to the business at all that makes it funny. It's when you're not intentionally trying to sell, but you're indirectly making a joke or making something playful. That's when people are drawn to that and it indirectly gets people to know who you are. It's weird, but you know, slip and fall videos, just funny, weird, quirky videos that go viral without the intention of being selling the business or selling the brand. Do you think that's a common thing? Cause I see that all the time. It's almost this unintentional, I don't want to say gimmick, but approach that actually works sometimes.
I think it's that mix of, you know, you've got to create a mix of content, you know, like only maybe a fifth should be selling. I could, you know, different people argue about what it is, but you know, if you look at anybody talking about content, they will say, you know, for LinkedIn or anything, it should be a mix. If you never try and sell your product, people won't buy it, right? But if you never, if you just sell, then you're just sort of, it's like standing in with a megaphone shouting at people, and nobody likes that. It's social media, and a lot of people mix the fact with social. And you see people putting out, you see these brands putting out content that is just kind of adverts, really, and it just doesn't work. You know, you can tell that they've got their social media person, or even worse, they've outsourced it to someone else who is just doing very basic, kind of very adverty sort of little meme-y type posts. And, you know, they get very little engagement. And if you commented on it, they wouldn't respond because there's no one at the other end of it. And so that is just me, you're putting up media on social media. It's got to be social. You know, right. And it's not social. Don't be surprised if nobody socializes with you, you know.
I mean, just to kind of put this all together, Kevin, I think one of the biggest things that you can learn out of this episode is, if you're not sure about your content, you're not sure what kind of videos to make, ask your customers for testimonials, but also look at the questions they're asking you, right? So if they're asking you about a particular problem they have or something they don't understand, that is the content you can create. And no matter how boring you might think your business is, every customer is going to have questions, or every customer you work with has a problem that you're solving. So create your content around that. But would you agree that's a good approach to start out with, Kevin?
I think that's absolutely the best approach, because it's really easy compared to any other form of video. Like, I think it's even easy. I rate this, like, testimonials really, really valuable, but testimonials involve somebody else. So there's just a slight additional complexity there. You've got to reschedule it, and that's a good reason for you both not to get around to doing it, right? So, you know, this isn't something I know you want to wake up in the morning and do anyway, so why make it hard for yourself? So, but doing frequently asked questions, that is something you know the answer to. You know it inside out and backwards, because you know your business inside out and backwards, all the things that people tend to ask you. So just make it really easy for people to buy from you. And especially if you can get the ones that you wish they didn't ask, or the really tricky ones, or the objections people have. You say, you can even kind of position them so they're slightly silly, right? Which great salespeople do anyway, but you can do this up front. It's like, you know, like, well, sometimes people, would you believe we even have some people say to us, blah, 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 you know, it's like, well, like, and so you kind of position that question as being ridiculous, but it's a little bit good cop, bad cop, because you're not saying it to their face. You're saying it on a video, right? So it doesn't feel quite so rude if you say it on a video. Obviously, you've been a little bit careful with that approach. But, you know, the point is, you can position, you can think, right, what are all the objections that we get with our salespeople when they come in the showroom or whatever? It's like, let's tackle those.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, what, you know, what are some of the common concerns that people have? It's like, people always ask, blah, you know, and we always tell them, you know, just like get that out there up front. They're going to ask anyway, right? So why not get that out there? So by the time they've gone through all that and then they still come in your showroom, they're like, it's more like, I want it in red, where do I sign, rather than, you know, going all the way up the, you know, and again, this is where, you know, your software comes in, right? So you can help them with that journey, help your clients, you know, put together those customer journeys so that by the time they get to the end of it, they're kind of ready to buy.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, I work with a software called Client Tether, and it automates, you know, communications, it automates texts, it automates emails. And but people listening to this, I want you to understand that it's what Kevin said. It's a journey, right? So the customer inquires through your website, they get a video email, maybe it's a hello video from you, and then it's going to continue to put them through that journey. And you can use your video content to nurture that person. So maybe you send them a testimonial, or you send them an educational video on your product or service. And you do that throughout the process. And all that does is it continues to build that credibility and that trust with that customer or that lead. So they are ready to buy. They're warmed up. And that's why I think the video is so important. Like you said, Kevin, it's a journey, and the customer feels like they're connected to you because you're reaching out, they're seeing your face, they're seeing your product. and there's a connection there. And I think, and I want to ask you too, Kevin, like, I know video is going to be a huge thing in the next 5 to 10 years. Where do you think it's going with this? Because I feel like it's just still, people are still kind of tiptoeing, adopting it totally right now. But I think in the next 5 to 10 years, consumers are just going to be, you know, demanding it, I think.
I think they already are. It's just that plenty of people are not supplying it. And right. I think people, what you're seeing, I think the big trend at the moment is AI. Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm a big tech guy. So I've been tracking AI for a long time, you know, listening to Kurzweil and some of these people. You know, this is not a surprise to me. You know, I think it's, it is kind of still surprising living in it, but it's kind of, you've seen this coming for like 20 years, you know. Right. So the, at first I thought, oh, this is going to kill video, it's going to kill headshots. But actually, I think the reverse is true, because there are situations where AI video content and AI headshots and things like that absolutely will be brilliant, you know, for people. And, you know, they won't use our service because AI will solve that problem. However, I think there's a lot of situations where I think actually AI is going to increase people's desire and need for trust and authenticity, as I said at the start, because if it's so easy to create content automatically, I mean, you're already seeing this, you know, people can smell a ChatGPT post a mile off because it's got a certain style to it. Yeah.
Right.
And they can already tell, they couldn't tell at first, but very quickly they can go, oh, that's ChatGPT. I can tell, you know, and like, a year ago, nobody was using, hardly anyone was using ChatGPT a year ago. You know, it was just kind of, nobody had heard of it, right? So it's moved very, very quickly. So I think the ability of things like podcasts like this, where people are just authentic, like you could probably create this using AI, but like, why would you? Because it'd be so, it's just much easier to do the real thing, you know?
Right. And more so authentic. I think people
just value that real, from the hip authenticity, rather than, you know, the in certain contexts, rather than that sort of AI that we're about to drown in. You know?
One thing I'll say too, just to wrap this up too, Kevin, is I think a lot of people listening go, well, I don't want to be the face. I feel, you know, self-conscious about being on video. But I think what I want people to know, and I think you know this too, is that, you know, people don't expect, you know, a movie star to be on camera. Like, they want real people doing real things and real businesses. You know, you look fine. Don't worry about it. Be yourself. I think there's value and weight to people, consumers, seeing you be yourself and not be someone that you think you have to be. I think that carries a lot more trust. Do you feel that way too?
Completely. Absolutely. 100%. And in fact, those little goofs and those little, eccentricities or idiosyncrasies or whatever, exactly what builds trust, the fact that it isn't perfect. And I think in a lot of contexts, if it comes across too polished now, it could feel inauthentic. It really depends. If it's like a TV ad, you kind of, your expectation that it is polished, but you see quite a lot of, Mark Zuckerberg, I've seen some of his videos recently. And I mean, frankly, it breaks a lot of the rules of how you should really shoot video. Like, it's like the person shooting it doesn't really know what they're doing. Now, right. Mark Zuckerberg can afford, you know, Steven Spielberg to come in to do it if he wants.
Right.
Not, right? So he's still going with the really authentic kind of, like, hey, just get your phone out and let's have fun with my new product. You know, me talking about the new product. You know, if it's good enough for Mark Zuckerberg, it's good enough for you, you know. And I think the way I often describe it, it's like, you know, you are in the home of conventions, right? So there's loads of hotels and there's huge conventions and trade shows and things. And you can always spot people who are newbies at doing those things because they get the table from the organizers and they sit behind it.
Right.
And then they wonder why they didn't have a very good show. And they're like, trade shows don't work for me. You're like, no, it's because you're sat down waiting for people to come to you. Right. And so I think often brands are a bit like that, you know, or rather small to medium companies are a bit like that. They kind of hide behind the product or hide behind their logo or their brand, and they kind of put up a website And then, you know, but they're not that successful. As where if they got out in front, they still need to know what the product is and the brand is. But if they got around the other side of the table, as it were, and allowed people to connect with them as a person, that's what people want to buy into. They want to buy into the story. They want right. you, you know, what like, they want to buy into you, especially. And that's an advantage that a small company can have over an Amazon or somebody else. Right.
Right.
You don't
right.
see Jeff Bezos out there, you know, promoting all his products. He doesn't need to. He's Amazon. But if you want to compete with that, don't try and do what he does. Use you. You are your biggest asset.
Right. Right. Well, this has been a great conversation, Kevin. I really appreciate you coming on to talk about it. And I think if anybody's listening, you've got to reach out to Kevin if you want to start getting on the video train. If you're afraid, you're not sure what to do, you don't know where to start, Kevin is a great person to talk to. How do people find you, Kevin, if they want to inquire or get some information from you?
Just go to our website, cadence.media, C-A-D-E-N-Z, or just drop me a line, Kevin, at cadence.media. Whether you need remote headshots, you've got multi-site teams, remote video production, or if you want us to train your people and how to create their own video, that would be all things we'd love to talk about. And thank
awesome,
you, Ryan,
Kevin.
For having me on. I've really enjoyed it. It's been great.
Yeah, it has been great. And if you're listening and you're not doing video, start right now, even if it's just with your cell phone outside in front of your building. Do something fun. Get out there. Be creative. So thanks, Kevin, and let's keep in touch.
Thanks very much.
Did you enjoy this episode? I hope so. If you want to support the podcast, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/Ryan Says Thanks. Your support is appreciated. And hey, even if you don't buy me a coffee, I'm happy to have you listening. So keep it up, and thanks again.